This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, when I was a student, I studied a lot from the writings of many Muslim political writers. So nearly I read all the books written by Maula Maududi Rahimullah Ta'ala, then writings of Hassan Banna Shaheed, the founder of Ikhwan Muslimin. I also read most of the books of Sayyid Qutb Shaheed Rahimullah Ta'ala, and also his tafsir fi Zilal al-Quran, many part of that. And also I read many of the people who belong to Jamaat Islami or Ikhwan Muslimin, Muslim Brotherhoods, and many of them have been my teachers. So I am very much familiar, you know, with the writings of those people. I had actually, I read also, you know, I studied in the Ulama, so I studied the Islamic sources properly, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the history of Islam. And also I have been aware, you know, I read, studied the writings of Sheikh Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, rahmullah, my teacher, and who was very much involved with all these movements. He has been part of Jamaat Islami for a long time, and he had very good relation with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and very good relation with Sayyid Qutb Shaheed, rahmullah ta'ala, with some of differences. So I think, you know, in one way, it is for me, you know, more possible to discuss, you know, more objective way. Meaning is, you know, I don't belong to any group. So I look, you know, at the matters from the IFA scholar. So I don't belong to anybody. And also I don't oppose anybody. But from every group, I have the people who actually I love and like. And from all those people, there are many aspects that I appreciate, I benefit from them. Until now, I read Maula Maududi's writings, and I benefit from that. Until now, I read Sayyid Qutb Shaheed's, you know, tafsir, and also his books, and I can recommend some of his books, are amazing, though I differ from them as well. So I don't like this idea that, you know, to hate some people or oppose people in that way. Because, you know, in this world, you know, most scholars, when they study and they learn, no doubt, you know, if they are sincere, you know, to, you know, sometimes they can be right, sometimes they can be wrong. And the scholarship actually is to analyze, to study properly, to find out the mistakes, and then move forward. And also when I'm teaching, you know, I will teach like a scholar, so it could be also possible that I do mistake. You know, it is not that, you know, everybody does mistake, I don't do mistake, everybody does mistake. But the way is basically to understand, to think properly. You know, it could be possible that you can learn something from me which can benefit you to understand Islamic movements and also the concept of jihad and state in Islam and society in Islam. And also you can compare, you know, my arguments with arguments of other people. You know, sometimes it could be possible that I think my arguments are stronger, but not everybody, because these topics, you know, have been discussed so much, so you can find so much material in about these matters everywhere. One thing I also, let me make clear, that many of these things that we discuss these days, even like state and religion, deen, sharia, you know, all these matters, though I study the writings of these book people, you know, as I mentioned, Maula Maududi and Sayyid Qutb Shaheed, they are the pioneer people. But at the same time, I also study the writing of a man in India who was not really politically motivated, though he also had connection with all these people. You know, I mean, Maula Hamiduddin Farahi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was actually, you know, pious scholar of Quran, very much focused on the Quran, though many of his followers became in Jamaat Islami very active. And until now, they are very active. His madrasa became very active in Jamaat Islami and Muslim political movement. But himself was not. But, you know, but he had good relation with everybody. His writings are more like a scholar. He's making effort to try to understand what Quran says. So I'll make effort to see really what exactly Quran says. Because sometimes what happens is when you have power and you lose the power, certainly it is really very painful. And Muslims had this pain for last 200 years. You know, imagine for 1,000 years, you have been the most dominant power on the face of the earth. And you have been ruled, basically, the area that Muslims ruled stretches from part of China to Spain, you know, one time. So, you know, certainly, when you know, lose this power, and people who have been weaker than you, and, you know, they have no power, you know, now they rule, it is very, very painful. And especially Muslims for India, you know, Muslims in India, they had, you know, huge empire, you know, for a long, long time, you know, nearly 800 years in most part, but some parts even more 1,000 years, Muslims ruled India. And especially last Muslim empire, Mughalic empire, was very, very powerful for more than 300 years, from the east to the west, from the north to south. Actually, India never has been as big as it was under Mughal empire. Okay, sometimes they even rule to Balkh and Badakhshan in Central Asia. Very, very, and very powerful, very rich empire. Actually, many people say that the loss of India for Muslims is more painful than the loss of Spain. Spain was very small territory. India is very, very huge. And Spain did not have such big population. India had a big, such huge, until now, huge population. Actually, the Muslims, India Muslims could not, succeed to basically to teach Islam to everybody. But still, the number of Muslims in India is much more than Muslims anywhere in the world. According to many people, there are more than 200 million Muslims in India, more than Indonesia, more than Pakistan, more than Bangladesh, more than Middle East, put together, the number. The loss of, in Mughal Empire was very, very painful. So certainly, if you see people like Maula Maududi and all those people, they are working on their heart and to thinking how to bring back that glory, one can understand. Because, if you lose something, you have pain and you want to bring that glory. But, we have to also make effort, really. Is it really the purpose of this religion to give Muslims a glory or to give Arabs a glory in this world? Is it really purpose? Is it something promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Very often people use the verses of the Quran, and you will see, inshallah, and I'll make effort to explain them. Either I understood, and if you have any, and you'll have time to ask me question, and, you learn from me, and I learn from you, inshallah. So there's no harm, to learn from each other. And certainly I should accept, I've been teaching for more than 10 years in this country. I have learned also from the students and from their questions. Sometimes I feel really that I should revise my argument properly, because nobody knows everything. So we learn. So I'm open. Don't think that I've made an opinion and then I close. Not like that. Nothing like that. In the past I was very much excited with the idea of Jamaat Islami and Ikhwan Muslim. I never have been part of any group, but I used to believe in. But somehow reading Maulana Farahi's writings. Who did not oppose these people? These people, groups emerged after him, after his death. So he was before these groups anyway. Though his followers became part of the group, he was never. So, it's more positive writing, which helped me to understand the Quran in a much better way. So before I start this thing, let me explain to you a few points very important, really. One is what it means that this religion is complete. When people read the verse of the Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, what it means, really. So we have to understand properly. Then Quran says, "Atmamtu alaykum ni'amati." Then sometimes Quran says, "Yuzhirahu ala din kullihi." Allah has made this religion to be dominant over all the religion. What it means? Allah has promised that He will make He will give Muslims the land, al-ard, the earth. What it means? We have to understand this thing, and then we have to understand really the relation between the individual, and between the society and the state. What is individual, what is society, what is the state, what they mean really, what relation is. If you understand this concept properly, it will be easier to understand the meaning of a state in Islam and Khilafah and all those things. Many people think Muslims always used to have Khilafah until it was abolished in 1924. So I always think that how people really have no idea of Islam. What about abolition is 1924 was not Khilafah. It is something called Khilafah. If you go in deep in history, Khilafah basically did not exist. Khilafah as a Khilafah only existed in the time of four Khulafah, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. And then if you want to, add one more person, it is Umar ibn al-Jazir, rahmullahu ta'ala. After that, there are kings who are called Khulafah. Some good kings, some bad kings, no doubt. Some of the kings are amazing, like Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimullah ta'ala, like in India, Aurangzeb, rahimullah ta'ala, or sometimes you can say Mahmud Ghaznavi. So these are great people and kings and powerful people, and they, because of them, Islam benefited a lot. And pious people, good kings, and very just rulers. But not necessarily they are Khulafa. Khilafah, in Islam is a basically religious term. It has its own meaning. So we have to try to understand what Khilafah means. So that also I'll explain to you later on. So when I'm teaching this this topic, certainly it will hurt many people. I know this thing because I have gone through this pain. So that's why I prepare myself with a poetic Urdu poetry. Urdu poetry will help you to understand this thing. So, Urdu poet said, چمن میں تلخ نوائی میری گوارا کر کہ زہر بھی کبھی کرتا ہے کار تریاقی چمن میں تلخ نوائی میری گوارا کر ki zahr bhi kabhi karta hai kari tiryaki. In the garden, people are expected to have nice song. You know, when you go garden, you know, roses and flowers, to nice song. But the poet said, when I come to the garden and I have a poem or sing song which is sour, which is not beautiful, which is not actually sweet, tolerate it, accept it. Reason is because sometimes you use poison to treat the people. So sometimes poison does same thing what actually real medical treatment does. So don't worry, if you have been learning from me so many good things, so sometimes there can be something which is painful, which could be like poison, which is not something you're expecting, you know. So be ready for that. That in what I'm going to teach you is not something, you know, basically a path to the glory in this world. It will be something different. And it's this thing. So now let's try to understand what Quran says. When Quran says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, I have completed to you your religion, deen. What deen means and what ikmal means, complete. Because very often you can see in the writings of Maulana Maudu, the first person from whom I learned really, and there are no harm to acknowledge that Dosayd Khushahid is a great man, and really in the, you know, in Arabic literature, and I really, you know, I like his tafsir very much, and I really, you know, acknowledge that after Kashaf, Dhamakhshari, he's Mu'tazili, you know, Sayyid Khushahid is the first major person who really who appreciate the language and style of the Quran. If people want to understand the beauty of the Quran language, I really have not seen anybody equal to Sayyid Khushahid in this matter. He's really amazing, because, you know, he's Arab, a man of the literature, and he knows really, he knows the language, you know, taste of the language. So when he reads the Quran, it really goes deep in his heart. Not only his tafsir, he has written books, other books. There is a book, At-Taswil al-Fanni fil Quran, great book really. I read many times, and I always advise students to read this book, At-Taswil al-Fanni fil Quran. And then he has got, you know, a book about the Qiyamah, you know, very Mashahid Yom al-Qiyamah, great book. So these books, you know, amazing. In this matter, actually, among the modern writers, there is nobody equal to Sayyid Khushahid Rahimullah Ta'ala, I understand. When it comes to his political theory or explanation of Islam, you know, from the eye of a political movement, in that matter, I believe really, and many people know this, Sayyid Khushahid himself does not hide this, he has been influenced by Maulana Maududi. So Maulana Maududi basically is the first person who started many of these expressions which now became so popular everywhere in the world. Though before him, nobody knew. So one of the, you know, his expression always have been, Islam is a comprehensive and complete religion. So Islam, you know, deenun, nizamun, kamilun, shamilun, hayat, that's how they say. So when you read Sayyid Khushahid, you think, oh, but actually it's coming from Maulana Maududi. He is the first person who made this thing, Islam is, you know, complete and comprehensive religion. What they mean by that is something different from what Quran itself means. So when the Quran says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, we completed, today I have completed for you your religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'amati, and I completed my favor upon you. What this favor means and what this completion of the religion means. You know, this hadith is very famous in Bukhari and Muslim everywhere. Once a Jew said to Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if this verse had been revealed to us Jews, we would have made that day of celebration. So Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I know exactly when it was revealed. It was revealed during the Hajj time in the Mina, when Prophet had performed the Hajj. So that was the revealed. Meaning it already celebration. Allah SWT actually revealed a verse in a time where Muslims always celebrate. It means Hajj, you know, all the time keep coming. So we don't need to add a new celebration. So this verse basically refers to the Hajj. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum refers to the Hajj. You know, your deen has been completed. So وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I complete upon you my favor. My favor has been complete upon you. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, and I am pleased to, you know, for Islam, for your, as your deen. Your deen Islam. Islam is submission, meaning what Ibrahim has, you know, made as a deen. And now the Prophet Muhammad has come basically to follow their deen and to renew their deen, as Quran said, ثُمَّ أُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنْ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. O Prophet Muhammad, then we reveal you that you must follow the way of Ibrahim. So Ibrahim is the imam. Quran said, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. O Ibrahim, I am going to make you imam. And لِلنَّاس, for all the people. So Ibrahim's imam is not for one or two people, for all the mankind. That is why when Ibrahim, you know, made Hajj obligatory, and Allah asked him to make clear, the Quran said, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Nas, all the people. You see, all the Nas coming for Ibrahim. And Ibrahim always, you know, basically Ibrahim refers to the Nas, to all the people. He does not refer only to Arabs or to Jews. His imam is for all the people, for all the time. And after him, all the messengers have been commanded to follow him. Musa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and then finally, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam have been commanded to follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. So deen, basically, the Ibrahim alayhi salam deen. In Ibrahim's religion, before Ibrahim, people used to have everything. Their deen was there. There was prayer, there was fasting, there was zakat. You know, there's no religion without that. Ibrahim is the first person who made Hajj. Hajj did not exist before that. Thereby, Quran says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The first house which has been made for the people is the house in Makkah. Certainly, it is not the first house. You know, if you mean first house which has been established for ibadah, do you think there was no house for ibadah before Kaaba? No, before Ibrahim, people used to worship their Lord. You know, Nuh alayhi salam must have been a house. You know, all the prophets, messengers, they must have, you know, places to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what it means, inna awwala baytin wadi'a linnas, meaning inna awwala baytin wadi'a lihajjin nas, the first house which has been made for the hajj of the people. If you read the verse, you can see it in the context of the hajj. It's not generally, you know, the first house to be built. It's actually first house for the hajj. Ibrahim is the first person who made the hajj. Before Ibrahim, hajj did not exist. So meaning is, Allah's religion became complete by Ibrahim's completion. When Ibrahim built the Kaaba and he made the Hajj, that how when the religion has been completed. And what was Allah's favor, completion of favor upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was that he was given the Makkah. Now he got Makkah, so he can do Hajj. So when the Quran says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, I have completed my religion for you, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I completed my favor, basically, you got Ibrahim's house. That ni'mah. Reason is for this is, when Quran mentions the conquest of Makkah, Quran says, Inna fatahna laka fatahan mubina. Certainly, we have given you a clear victory. Liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqadda min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhara, wa yutimma ni'matahu alayka. We have given you clear victory, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for all your sins and complete his favor upon you. So what is completion of favor is? Completion of favor basically is conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, which leads to the Hajj. Meaning now the city of Makkah will belong to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The city of his father Ibrahim has come back to him. Quraysh did not deserve the city. This city basically was for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the son of Ibrahim, nobody else. Now, after the conquest of Makkah, the Prophet Muhammad has got this house. So Allah's favor upon him has been completed. Now the deen also becomes, he can do Hajj. So this completion of the now this deen of Ibrahim, that what Allah loves for the people. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامُ دِينًا. Meaning it, Ibrahim's religion is now religion for you, that we accepted for you, I'm pleased with you. If you follow Ibrahim's religion, that I'm pleased with you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to renew the religion of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. Because people have forgotten and people could not do this. So once he got the Hajj, he got the full religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim's religion basically is, you know, Iman, Islam, and Islam has the extension of, you know, Salah, Zakat, Siyam, fasting, and Hajj. These are the pillars of Ibrahim's religion. And that's why the Prophet said, Buni al-Islam ala khamsin, Islam has been built upon five pillars. And that what he said in Hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel asked him what Islam is, he explained these five things. And these five things are very clear in the Quran, and that what Ibrahim has been teaching, and that what Ibrahim's followers always have been having. But Hajj was lost by Ibrahim's followers for a long, long time. Even Jews actually sometimes had Hajj, sometimes did not have Hajj. Until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then the Ibrahim's religion again became complete. It's not the religion incomplete, and the Prophet Muhammad incomplete. Meaning not that. Meaning basically, religion which was complete, people made it incomplete. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, he brought it back to the foundations of Ibrahim. That what meaning is. Meaning is not the before Prophet Muhammad, religion was incomplete. This is not the meaning. Meaning is, religion was complete by Ibrahim alayhi salam, but then the people changed it. Until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then he brought back to the foundations of Ibrahim. To Ibrahim, he's the Imam in the Quran. That's why Quran says that we have revealed to you that you must follow the deen of Millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this first thing. So deen, completion of deen means Hajj. Itmam al-Ni'ma means that now the Prophet Muhammad has got Makkah al-Mukarramah. Favor of Allah is complete upon him. And Islam means religion of Ibrahim. He got the full religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Full, there no, nothing missing. Before that something could be missing, but when Prophet Muhammad salam came, nothing is missing. He got the full aman of religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now the Quran said, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah has sent his messenger with guidance and the true religion. So he make it dominant over all the religion. ليظهره, the pronoun who can refer to the Prophet of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or also can refer to his deen, because both have been mentioned before. Quran said, هو الذي أرسل رسوله. So ليظهره could mean ليظهر رسوله. Or then also it means هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. So ليظهره could mean ليظهر دين الحق. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wanted to make him or make his religion as dominant. So very often people use this verse that Islam must be always dominant. This basically is misunderstanding. This promise was only for the Prophet Muhammad. It was a miracle, basically proof of his prophethood, that when he comes, deen will be dominant. His deen will be dominant. It does not mean this dominance politically and every aspect will remain until the death of Qiyamah. No, it does not necessarily mean. You know, it could mean that basically in truth of the religion always be prevalent. No religion true anyway. But it not necessarily means politically to always be dominant. No. If it happened once, that's enough. That promise has been fulfilled. Allah's promise never has been to make it a dominant politically all the time. In the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Khulafa Rashidun, the deen became dominant, you know, in the deen, the way of life, and also politically, it became dominant. But after that, if it becomes weaker sometimes, its followers become weaker, it does not actually go against the verse of the Quran. The Quranic verse does not say it will remain same all the time. And we know really, it will never remain all the time. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, time will come when Muslims will lose all Syria. Syria will go from their hand, they will lose Iraq, they will lose, you know, Egypt, they will lose all Middle East, and Islam will be shrunk to Hijaz. And then after that, again, they will, you know, they move from Hijaz and they do bay'ah at the hand of one of the men from the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then again, they will take, you know, Syria back and, you know, Iraq and then whole Middle East. Then after that, they come to Europe. You know, you know the famous hadith. And then Isa Islam comes. So before Isa Islam comes, you know, Muslims will lose everything. So this loss will happen. And the Prophet also said, I have been shown the fitnah in the house of Medina. So fitnah will come to Medina. Fitnah will come, problem will come, weakness will come, Muslims will be a problem. And he said in so many hadiths, not only one hadith. So this izhar of his deen was not really for all the time, in every aspect. You know, it is always, at least from the argument point of view, his deen is true. The truth of the deen is no doubt always dominant. Ulama always can make clear Islam is the true religion. But politically, the promise was only for his time, for him. After that, could happen. After that, you know, maybe does not happen. So that keep understanding. Izhar al-deen does not necessarily means it is duty of the believers. It is actually promise from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, which happens in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Khulafa Rashidun. And then after that, it happens, doesn't happen after Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Because he said, تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days, we keep alternating. Sometimes we give you power, sometimes we give power to other people. This we keep coming all the time. It is not that always one family rules the world. This never happened. Even about Jews and Suleiman and Daud came in big empire. Then, you know, again, Jews have been, you know, Jewish house was disintegrated and so many problems happened. They again become weak. This keep happening. Now then, another verse is which always, you know, people keep reading is when Quran said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah has promised the believers that we must give them khilafah and power in the earth, al-ard, in the earth. So people think that, you know, you see al-ard and the whole earth. So, you know, we must get khilafah, you know, in all the earth. So this is misunderstanding. This khilafah, Quran has mentioned other verses, it is only for as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin al-ansar. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has mentioned other verses that we have made promise for them. This promise was not for all the believers. This promise was only for as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. There is a very good book written by Well, in La Dehlavi, in Persian language, its name is Izaratul Khafa an Khilafatil Khulafa. So he collects all these verses and makes very clear that Khilafa of the earth was a promise for the for early Muhajirin, meaning it for Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar al-Faruq, Uthman, and these people, and Ali, certainly the last Khalifa, these people have been promised that they will get Khilafa, power on the earth. Certainly we know they did not have the power over the earth. So which are the Quran is referring to? That what we need to understand really. Al-Ard does not refer to the Quran in this verse to all the earth, because we know it did not happen. Muslims did not rule America, Muslims did not rule Australia, actually in that time did not rule even India, they did not rule many parts of the world, Central Asia. You know, the Khilafah of Khulafa al-Rashidun basically was Middle East, Bilad al-Sham, Iraq, and Sham means, you know, Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, and Iraq, you know, and Egypt, and Palestine, and Iran, things like that. That was their Khilafah. So what means Al-Ard? Al-Ard means Ardu Ibrahim. Ibrahim's land will be given them. That actually means. Meaning that Ibrahim's true inheritors are Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers. They get his religion and they will get his land. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got his religion, Deen Islam, Radhiyallahu Lakum Islam Deena. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got his house, Baytullah Makkah Al-Mukarrama. And Prophet's followers also got the land of Ibrahim. The land of Ibrahim belongs to these people. They are the one who inherit land of Ibrahim's land actually is, you know, Makkah al-Mukarramah, Medina, Hijaz, and Bilad al-Sham, Iraq, Egypt. These are the lands of Ibrahim. That actually Ibrahim's family always have been fighting for each other to get this whole of this. That's Ibrahim's land. Ibrahim's land's promise was for Khulafa al-Rashidun. That was the promise. That why after getting this land, Umar Khattab was very reluctant to make more conquest. Though sometimes conquest happened, and inshallah I'll tell you about jihad, that what jihad in Islam means, and certainly no doubt jihad will continue until the day of Qiyamah, as the Prophet said. But what jihad means, that also misunderstands, so I'll come to that. So first thing, keep in mind this thing. So I explain to you what complete religion means. It does not mean the laws and details. These things can come and go. What really it means is the real religion. Real religion was completed by giving the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Hajj. Now he can do Hajj, now he got proper complete religion. What Itmam al-Ni'mah means, he got the house of Ibrahim. He got the Makkah. The house of Ibrahim belongs to him. What Radhiyallahu Islam Deena means, he got religion of Ibrahim. The Islam is Islam. And what means Ikmaluddin, Izharuddin, it means the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will get dominance over the other religion in his time, his Khulafa al-Rashidun. What land means that they will be given? Land of Ibrahim. That is the land they got. The land of Ibrahim. It does not really mean that Muslims have duty to conquer every part of the world. That never has been duty upon Muslims by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to conquer all the world. It never has been their duty. You know, and then people will ask that why Muslims keep conquering? Why the conquest keep happening? That's a good question. And I have even did research for that as well. So inshallah, that will come in the jihad part. Now another thing I want to explain is that what is the relation between individual, between the society, and between the state? Proceed. You know this circle, that what basically deen is, religion, ad-deen. Why I made a circle? Because circle basically something, you know, keeps coming going on. Deen basically something that you do every day. That's what makes you. So every day you have to pray Fajr prayer, Dhuhr prayer, Asr prayer, Maghrib prayer, Isha prayer. Every year we have to pay Zakat. Every year to fast a month of Ramadan. Not only once. And then you have this straight line. A straight line basically is your the space given to you. Your space never comes back. So, you know, first day of your life never comes back. Second day never comes back. Third day never comes back. Your life basically goes like that. It never, no circle. It just goes and starts until it ends. Nothing comes back. Religion, you know, it is something that, you know, keeps coming back. You know, you, every day you do the same thing. But this one, it goes, though actually people celebrate their date of birth, to be certainly stupidity, because the day you were born, it never comes back. So it, no point to celebrate something which never can come back. It is just misunderstanding. Actually, people should be more worried because now they come nearer to the death. Every year you become nearer to the death. That's what should be. But your birth never comes back. Actually, nothing in your life comes back, simple thing. So this line refers to the space given to you and the time that has been given to you. You have been created for this circle. This is the purpose of your creation. Space and time, they basically are incidental in your life. They are not the real thing. Real thing, this is what you need to do. That's what Quran says, that مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Deen, to apply the deen, there are need. This is an incidental thing, basically, in your life. So whatever means this you have to apply here anyway. Because you know, the space that you have been given, and the time that you have given, in that time and space, you have to apply this one. The space that you have been given, sometime will be your personal life, sometime could be your family life, sometime could be wider society, that you live, your neighbors and all those things, the society that live, sometime could even be state. You know, it depends. This could change. This, you know, for not everybody, it's always the same thing. It could change for everybody. But in this, what actually matters is individual. What I'm trying to say, religion basically is individual, for individuals. Religion is for the individuals. Means what matters actually is individuals. Individuals being personal is an incident. Individuals being part of a family, it's an incident. It's not really always, you know, must happen. Individual being part of society is a temporary matter. It's not really a real thing. And also being part of a state. But individual matters. The individual sometimes could be just, you know, on his own. Sometimes could be part of family. Individual sometimes could be part of a society. Individual sometimes could be part of a state. Either he rules or being ruled, he's part of a state. Individual matters. Religion has come for individuals. Meaning is, religion basically is between your Lord and between you, everybody. Society and the family and the state, they are only to help you. If you have a society, if you have a family, therefore basically they have to help you. State has to help you, but otherwise you are individual. Let me explain it in a different way. Quran has mentioned, you know, in the day of judgment, people will call لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ. You have come to us as individuals, as we created you the first day. So when you are born individual, alone. When you come raised to the day of judgment, you are raised alone. That's what will happen. And your individualism in the day of judgment will be very, very clear. So clear that Quran says that the people will run away from their father, from their mother, from their brothers, from all the relations that you have in this world, those relations will finish basically that day. Then Allah SWT will give inam in your favor upon the people who go to paradise. So if you, okay, English word I can explain to you also. If you look at the word individual, it basically is negative, isn't it? So the word should be individual. Then they made individual. So there's a individual and there's individual. People basically in this world are individual. Isn't it like that? Are you individual? You know, like a mother, you know, if her son is lost, and you bring food, nice food to her and say, okay, eat. And she said, no, no, my heart is with my son. He said, no, no, you are individual. So she's not individual. She's individual. Her heart, she can't eat without the son. She can't eat without a child. People cannot, you know, live without their friends. People cannot live without their, you know, parents. They're divided. They're not individual. One of the major lies of this world is to teach you that you are individual. Either teach you also that you are independent. So these are lies. They don't exist. You are neither independent, you are neither individual. You basically are individual or you are dependent. So the truth is that people are dependent and people are individual. So that's what truth of the matter is. Why Allah SWT made you individual? The reason He made you individual, so then when you die, your individualism becomes complete. He wants to test you by giving you relation. He made you brother, father, son, daughter, all those things to test you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ Then your, as individual, you become complete. Then you come to him as a proper, test is complete. So when you are marrying husband, wife, he wants to test you. How you live, how you respect your, excuse me, how live your wife and how your wife lives with you. This new relation is a test. And if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your individualism is complete, meaning it, your sabr is complete. Now you come as a man of sabr. If you live in the house properly and your wife becomes angry and you, you know, respect her, still, you know, respect her and love her and don't become angry and don't become unfair and fear your Lord alone, then meaning it, in the test of the sabr, you passed. when he gives you something, so he wants you to share. If you have some money, some favor of Allah, share with the people. So in the test of the shukr, he passed the test of shukr. So that's basically all these relations he has made for you. He wants to make you a complete individual. So by being individual, you are tested. And every test of being individual makes you individual. Is it clear? In this life, basically, you are individual. When you die, then you become individual. And they teach you wrong thing. They teach you that in this life, you are individual. So this is not true. In the life, in this world, basically, you are individual. In this life, you are individual. When you die, then you become individual. Now you become like that. Now, basically, you are not what your wife is. So you and your wife both live in the same house. But it could be that you pass in the test of the sabr, she failed. She passed in the test of the shukr, and you failed. You know, they live in the same house, but one of them is, you know, more complete, the other is not more complete. So each one is tested. So this, try to understand properly. Allah wants, you know, to make you complete individual. But how? By testing you while making you individual. So your individualism basically is a test for you. It makes you proper human being. So in this world, when you see problem, the problems are not to harm you. The problems really only come to test whether you pass the test of individualism or not. You know, can you become a complete individual? So when you have a difficulty, don't become annoyed, oh, so much problem. No, difficulty is to test your sabr, or basically to grant you sabr. When you get favor from Allah, it is basically to give you shukr, opportunity to make shukr, thank you. Sometimes your neighbors are not feeling well or something, it is a test to you. Are you going to be care for them or not? It is a test for your care. Sometimes in the family, sometimes in the society, sometimes with your work partners, it could be anywhere in the society. Every time you tested, why? To make you an individual, to make you proper individual. Meaning is, all the relations or connections around you, they are not real. They only have been made to make you an individual, complete person, as much as possible. They are not the real. So this is what we need to understand. The real thing basically is this circle. You know, your deen, ibadah. All this line, space, is basically to test you. And when you tested, sometimes tested in personal life, sometimes family life, sometimes society, sometimes state. Meaning is, like Yusuf al-Islam, sometimes your space is just a well. That's what? He has no space, even no house, just a well. Where is his space? Sometimes palace of a minister, he's in the house of this lady. Sometime in the prison, that his space. It is not his failing. Meaning is, in every phase of his life, he's tested. He has complete space. It doesn't matter where space actually is, your prison or well or whatever space is. You have to learn really in that space how to behave, how to make your individualism to come true. When you are alone, your personal life, how you should be good in personal life. When you get married, the new test starts. Now your test is your marriage life. Now you have to learn really the way how to pass this test. When you are part of society, now you have to learn really how to pass this test. When you are part of the state, either you rule or ruled, now you have to learn how to pass this test. These things are temporary in your life to test your individualism, or maybe to help to build your personality, to make you proper individual human being. So this circle is a religion, which applied on these lines. You apply there. Every time you have to learn this thing. This space, religion is the one you have to do. The space is given by your Lord. Or maybe you can explain it differently. The circle is basically Allah's Uluhiyya. Allah is Allah. This one is Allah is Rabb. Allah is Rabb. He gave you space and time. Your father and mother made by him. The family made by him. The country where you were born given by him. The time that you are given by him. He did not make you in the time of Ibrahim or Musa or Isa. He made you in this time given by him. It's not that you chose. This meaning is, this straight line is never your choice. It is given by him. Why? So then he can test this one circle, how you apply that one here. That one he wants to test. That what your concern should be circle. It doesn't matter really that you live in England or India, but what matters is that when morning comes, you must pray Fajr. You can't say in India, you know, the night will be longer and, you know, I could sleep well and then wake up and they prefer. In this country, in the summer, it's such a short night. How can I wake up? No. This Allah has given you space. This space now you've got. And whether night is short or big, doesn't matter. When morning comes, you must pray. That's what you do. You can't say in Malaysia, you know, all the year, day and night are same. So yeah, in Malaysia, I can't be good Muslim, but I can't be good Muslim in England. No. Malaysia and England are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to concern about that. It doesn't matter really whether you are in Malaysia or in this country, whether you are in the prison or in the palace or you are in the well, in like Yusuf, it doesn't matter really. What matters is this circle. That what Ibrahim brought. Ibrahim was a man beyond the space, truth of the matter really. Who can be more complete than him? He was not a khalifa, he was not a ruler. But do you think really that khulafa and rulers are better than Ibrahim? Ibrahim is imam. Real matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this circle really. Every single thing is secondary. Isa is someone not a khalifa, but do you think Isa is an incomplete man? No, Isa is as complete. Yusuf, you know, in the will was a complete person. Because in the will you have to do what, in the will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. When you have family, you know, do what Allah wants you to be doing as a member of the family. He does not want you when you are in the family to do what you do as a khalifa. No, you don't have khilafa, but you have a husband. To learn your duty as a husband, that's what he wants from you. When you are in the world, he does not expect from Yusuf to behave same way when he became minister. No, in the world, Yusuf has to behave as he is expected to behave in the world. When he was in the house of that lady, he had to behave as there, you know, in that house. He is not expected to become like a minister in the house. No, everything has its own, because this is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The space is given, space, you know, for example, we are now in this time. We are not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't behave like that. We have to behave the way Allah expects us to behave in our time. It's a simple matter. We are not in Medina. We are in London. So in London, we have to behave that way, the way Allah wants us to behave in London. You have to learn really what Allah's commands are in London for you believer. Space and time, they are given to you by your Lord as a Rabb. He's a Rabb. In that one, you have no power. He gives whatever he likes as a Rabb. This circle has been given to you by him as Allah, as a Ma'bud. Here he is commander. You must obey him. You can't complain that this space is not good enough for me. I deserve a space better than this. You can't ask because he knows what you deserve. He knows how to test you. You don't know really. You can't say that I deserve a father better than this father. Can you say like that? Can you say, oh, I deserve a mother better than my mother? No. That's what you have been given. Your father is your father, your mother is your mother, your sons are your sons, your daughters are your daughters, your sisters are your sisters, your brothers are your brothers, your language is your language. Even the language he gave you. Before you born, he made language for you. Even the language given for you. Every single thing given for to you to see how you apply this circle in your space. What matters really is the circle. That what deen refers. Try to understand really. Many people actually what happens is they make deen in deen of state. They don't understand deen when Quran refers is meaning the circle. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says deen or Islam, it means this circle. This is a temporary, this basically is incidental in your life. It could happen this way, could happen this way, could happen different way. It doesn't matter really. It could be happening in the prison, it could happen in the well, it could be anywhere. It doesn't matter really. This is accidental. It's not really, you know, but this is the real command of Allah. That's what you need to do. You are slave of your master. That's what people need to do. This is a very, very important question. Now the question happens is, why the Quran commands, you know, cut the hand of the thief? Because people say, I said, Qutb Shahid is very good in this matter, you know, and Maulana Maudud, both of them, you know, Maulana Maudud, when I was a young boy, you know, learning in madrasa, the first time when I learned, studied Maulana Maudud's book, I was very much impressed. So he said, Quran commands you to cut the hand of the thief. And you just keep reading that verse. So he gave example. That for example, if your father asks you, go and bring a glass of water. So you don't bring water, you just read, bring a glass of water, bring a glass of water. Are you obedient? That makes very good sense, really. We are not obedient. He said, Muslims now only read that verse, but they don't do it. It made a lot of sense to me that time when I was a young boy. Now I understand really the mistake in this example. So, you know, that's what people think really. People say, see, Quran has commands, you know, for the society, for this and that. So why we should not do that? You know, how can we believe without doing this? So that also we need to understand. Deen is this deen. But what happens is, when Allah SWT gave you space, in that space also He gave you certain rules. Why? Then those rules will help you to do this. You know, people who are not concerned this, they can make their own rule. You know, people always need rules. To use this space, you need rule. You need rule for the families, you need rules for the society, you need rules for the state, everybody. Doesn't matter whether believers or non-believers, everybody needs rules and laws, you know, to use the space. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says believers need different rules, because the reason that they use the space is not the same reason for which other people use the space. They use the space for ibadah of Allah. So the rules that should govern their space, it should be helpful for the ibadah. So Allah gave them rule. So now you have rules for the family life, you have rules for the society, you have rules for the state. They are different from other rules, sometimes they are same, but they basically are only meant to help you for the ibadah. Now, when you get the space, you must follow Allah's rule in that space as well. That's also ibadah, because if you don't do, it will not happen. Both connected. So people, to whatever space, whatever you have family life, in the family life, you must obey Allah's rules in the family. While doing this, you must do that as well, because those rules are connected with this one. So Allah gave you space for this purpose, but in the space also He made rules. Why? Because those rules will help you to do this. So let me explain this, you know, in another way. So I mentioned in the space that has been given to the people, in that space people needs really certain rules and laws. Everybody needs, because in the ibadah cannot be done without rules applied there, otherwise people are fighting. So people need really certain arrangement in that space. That's what has been given. So for the believers, what matters really is, you know, people are there, they get the rules from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they implement it. I use the word enforcement, which is actually, you can say, modern word, but Islam does not like the word enforcement. Islamic way is actually atiyahu, obey Allah, you know, implement, apply it properly, not enforcement. Enforcement has been, you know, considered a force. What applied people do, then, you know, in the society, there is justice and order. In the family, in the society, justice and order, it helps you, you know, to do ibadah properly. So you do all this, why? The end result basically is this circle. You want to please your Lord. You want to, you know, you want to worship Him. And then you get paradise. So basically, all this thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given is this space. So you arrange the space properly. So you do ibadah properly to please Him and you get paradise. Unbelievers don't have this ibadah circle, but they also have a circle. The circle is to please themselves. You know, in unbelievers, not that they don't do this for any end, they also have an end. Their end is to please themselves. So they are also very similar. They have, you know, laws, they enforce the laws, they're, you know, in the society, like you see, the West, the justice and order. But this justice and order, it is not to please Allah, to do ibadah. Justice and order is, then they can enjoy the life. You know, they also want to peaceful society. Why? Not because if peaceful society will make them to worship their Lord. Peaceful society will make them to enjoy more, to please themselves. Pleasing themselves is their goal. And then they basically get success in this world. That's what they don't know hereafter. So you can see both are similar, but end result, this circle, what makes different really? The circle of the believer is ibadah of Allah, and the circle of unbeliever is to please themselves. That the circle differently. Otherwise, the space, very often, sometimes you can say believers have also good space, sometimes they have bad space. You know, Muslims have for 1,000 years power, dominant power in the world. But that time, you know, if you read the writings of Ibn Jawzi, I have been thinking why Jews and Christians are so humiliated. So he said, it came to my mind, Allah SWT want to show that, you know, that when people leave the right religion, how they can be humiliated and this and that. But this humiliation, in his time, in our time, it's not like that. Now, in our time, you can see Jews and Christians, they have got power. This keeps changing. It could be sometime like that, sometime other. Allah also tests them as well. They also get the test. But their circle is just this word. Quran says, ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Their effort is lost in this world. All the effort, the day and night, you can see so clever people, all the scientists and what they invent really, so amazing, great mind. But all the effort, all inventions for what? For this world. America has such a great power. Some people think really that no nation on the face of the earth has as much power as America has got. But what the purpose of this power? All this power is just enjoyment of this life. Even that the people don't get properly, but that's the whole purpose. You get so much power for what? for something which you're going to leave anyway, you know, this world. So at the end of the day, that's this world. Is it clear to everybody? So try to understand the real thing really is this circle. This is something given by your Lord. When it is given, He wants you to use the space according to His command. Because that helps you the ibadah. People think really our purpose is those commands. Those commands really are secondly there to help this one. Those commands, if you are able, if you have society, if you marry, then you have to know what actually your duties are as man and wife. If when you are in society, then you should know really what are your duties as a rich man, as a poor person, as a helper, as a neighbor, and all those things. When you are in the state, you should know your duties like that. But this keeps changing. It not never remains all the time the same. So sometimes it could be you are, if people are not married. So certainly, in all the commands of Allah about marriage don't apply to them. They can't, you can't teach, take the Quran to this person, say, Quran commands this for husband, and you don't do this, you are sinful. No, he said, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not married. You know, I'm just a young man. I don't have intention to marry. Similarly, the verse of the Quran, which says, cut the hand of the thief, it applies to those people who are in that space. If you don't have that space, it doesn't apply to you. Try to understand. When the Quran says, give the zakat, so what happens? Anybody who does not pay zakat, they're sinful. Those people who could pay zakat and they don't pay, they are sinful. Means somebody who is rich, but if somebody is poor and they don't pay zakat, are they sinful? Command of zakat only is obligatory upon you when you have money. If you don't have money, tell me, okay, another question comes. Is it obligatory upon you to earn money so you can pay zakat? No. Obligation is when you get money, pay zakat. When you have money enough, then you do Hajj. But is it obligatory upon you to earn enough money to do Hajj? No. When you earn, then you do Hajj. But if you don't earn, then no Hajj. That's why it is not obligatory on the believers to get the state so they can cut the hand of the thief. No. When you get the state, then it applies to you. If you don't get the state, it doesn't apply to you. Try to understand. If you have the power to enforce, you've got proper space, then you don't do, you'll be sinful. But if you don't have the space, it is not obligatory upon you to get the space. If you are not married, then you know the commands for you know life of husband and wife does not apply to you. But once you married, apply. If you are not rich, the command of zakat does not apply to you. But once you become rich, it applies to you. Always like that. Similarly, jihad. Command for jihad applies to you when you are in that capacity. If you are not, it does not apply to you. Command for hijrah. Hijrah was obligatory, it actually is for certain people. If you are not fulfilling their condition, it does not apply to you. So that is very important to understand. Let me explain this with another line, it will help more clearly. You know, for the religion, or for any task that you want to achieve, there is a starting point and the end point. Before end, there are many, many stages that you pass through. If you have to come to somebody who is very healthy, bodybuilder, into the gym, and he sees that you know he can you know lift very heavy weight, maybe 50 kilo or 60 kilo, something like that, and somebody asks you that why he's so healthy, so you said no, because he can lift 50 kilos. Then you say, oh, so if I lift 50 kilo, I can become healthy. And then you go to gym and lift 50 kilo, what will happen? You will die before the death, or something will happen, accident, because you can't lift 50. You did wrong calculation. You basically went here. What? This line. What matters to you not? Just think, before 50 kilo, ask him, before you came able to lift 50 kilo, what did you before that? He said, before 50 kilo, I used to lift 45. Okay, before 45, 40 kilo. Before 40, 35 kilo. Before 35, 30 kilo, until he will come 10 kilo. Then you should start with 10 kilo. That's what meaning is. 10 kilo, then you become 15 kilo, then 20 kilo, then you basically, you can't just say that this person is so healthy because he lifts 50 kilo, so I should start 50 kilo. That's not right. This, nobody does like that. You know, if you ask me that, you know, how can I understand the Quran so nicely, if you ask me, then I say, because in the morning, I spend 1 hour in reading Quran and go deeply every verse and this and that, and then, you know, I mark and, you know, and refer to tafsir. So this is the best way to understand the Quran, because you know, Shaykh understand. Let me do this. If you do, you will not understand. Ask me before this what I used to do this for. Before this, I learned tafsirs. Before that, I learned Arabic language. Before that, I learned Arabic grammar. So he said, you have to start from where I started. You can't start from where my ending. You have to start from the starting point. Now people come to you say, you see, don't you see the Quran commands jihad? And you don't do jihad, you are sinful. That's what people say to you. You know, if you, that actually problem in our time, people learn religion from the preachers and from the journalists. You know what journalism is, what media is. Media basically not concerned to teach you anything. Media's concern basically is, you know, to do those things which can attract more people. Convince, you know, just basically want to provide, you know, for example, if I want to make money, so that's my concern. So I get a product, I advertise the product in a way that I can get a maximum, you know, benefit. And many, big number of people can purchase from me, get the product and get money. My concern will not be actually whether you need this product or not. Whether you're going to, my concern only is you buy it. Whether you need, don't need, whether it's good for you, bad for you, I don't care. What I care, you buy from me and I get happy. When I teach your course on Arabic language, then what my concern is? Is my concern really to get more students, do I get more fees? No, my concern really is to get those people who really, this course can benefit them. So for example, if somebody comes to my course when I teach Arabic language, Arabic grammar, does not know Arabic alphabets. If I'm interested in money, I'll say, oh yeah, you know, enroll, you know, give me fees, and let's see. But if I'm a really proper, honest teacher, I'll say, no, this code does not matter to you, not for you. Go and learn Arabic properly, somewhere, alphabets and all those. Once you are qualified to attend this course, then you can come, not now. That's what I'll do. So I will look really that what you are qualified to. I know which stage you are. Journalists don't do this thing. Journalists basically write same thing, same media for every single person. When you open a TV program, basically it's not concerned really with who's going to benefit you, harm you. No, it basically for another purpose. You know, it either entertainment also for business anyway, so entertainment and this and that business. When people have product, advertise a product, their concern is not going to benefit or harm you. Their concern really is that, you know, they make money. That's what their concern is. So people who preaching Islam, their purpose is what? To attract people. That, you know, if you preach in, you have to preach in a way that more people listen to you. You know, good preacher is the one who can attract a big crowd. They are concerned not whether you learn or don't learn. That way when they preach, they are also not concerned to give you sound knowledge. Sometimes fabricate a hadith, sometimes they interpret the Quran wrongly. It is not their concern. Their concern basically to attract people. Sometimes they will, you know, say those stories which can make you laugh, to entertainment, this and that. So, you know, people can come attracted to, you know, so preaching is entertainment and also, you know, media and writing entertainment. Try to understand it. Don't get knowledge from them because these people are not concerned to teach you. Their concern really is to attract a big crowd. That's why I see really, whenever I attend any preacher's sermon, always find really the hadiths are fabricated, munkar, stories are, you know, useless, rubbish. You know, actually every time I have this experience so badly really, and I and people who do this, sometimes they are known as scholars, but when they come as a preacher, they don't care about it. And then common people, they think, you know, this man is a big man, so he must be right. But they're not right, really. They fabricate a story, they invent a story, or maybe they read those books which are fabricated in the stories and then teach you, and they're not concerned about your religion. They're concerned is that you listen to them and attract them. This is very bad manner. That's actually what happened to Islam in our time. Most people who preach Islam, they are the preachers. Their purpose only is to attract the crowd or, you know, media people. And unfortunately, that's also true, really, for many Muslim writers in our time. Originally, they were journalists. Then they become writers in Islam. So journalism has its own mind. That mind came there. They're not originally scholars. You know, that actually harm people a lot. So, you know, it's easy. You can find the cover in the Quran which says, do jihad, you know, and then. But ask the person, when you read this verse of jihad, people who, to whom the verse of jihad came, what came to them before the jihad? Which command came to them before the jihad? You say hijrah. Okay, they did hijrah. Before hijrah, what command they had got? The command before hijrah was for them to do sabr, to do salah, to do prayer for 13 years. Before that, what command they have? Iman is, you know, so many things. Now, you leave all this out. You just read the last command. And you say, Quran commands to do jihad and take the sword and Islam will remain dominant and this and that. All the verses. Those verses came in a stage. Now, people who actually, you know, now the people, who don't have Iman Islam, they do zina. Are you commanded to do jihad? Tell me, if people who do zina, they do jihad, what will happen? In the jihad, they will do the same thing. People who steal money, when they do jihad, what will do? They will do stealing in jihad. That's what they do. You know, if people don't have Iman Islam properly, if you command them the last command, what will happen? You have to prepare them. Before preparation, nothing can happen. This is a very important act. I'm going to teach you in more detail, really. That's Muslims in our time, one of the problems I realize is that we Muslims don't learn the right sequence. The things actually have a right sequence. You have to follow. You have to start from the starting point. You can't begin from the last point. Start from the beginning. If you want to make your son a doctor, then basically start from alphabet. Then in primary school, then middle school, high school, then this school, that school, until you get. You can't make your son a doctor by making to attend an international conference of the doctors. And you're proud that my son, who is a 10-year-old, attended this conference and that conference, and now I'm making for him a big hospital. You can do all those things, it's waste of effort, waste of money. Nothing will happen to him. He needs basically, like anybody else, to study from the beginning. He can't be. Now you can see all these groups who are fighting in Syria, the way they're insulting Islam, cannot imagine it. Many things they do, Islam never can approve. Reason is because they never learned really. The way they insult women, the way they behave the women. Sometimes they think the women are corrupted, they become slave girls, and they basically think women are their property. It never happened in Islam really, that Muslim women, they can become slave girls. And also for non-Muslim women, there are certain conditions. The way it's happening in the Middle East now, all this fighting, and they refer to the verse of the Quran Hadith, very bad manner. Really, they don't learn properly. You have not learned this thing properly. The way you're doing. And anybody who differs from you, kill. Tell me really, where Islam says that people differ from you, kill them. Islam never allowed people to be killed because they differ from you. Difference always happened in Islam. Even the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, time of Khulafa Rashidun, people differ from Khulafa Rashidun, but they never kill them. You are not allowed to kill people because they differ from you. Now this fashion, if people differ from you, kill them, tell me really what happening. Because people, those who are doing jihad, they're doing jihad before preparation. They don't know really what they need to do. They have to learn. And now Islam has got bad name. They have not learned properly. So anyway, it is same thing. Now the world has got this impression that Muslims, they basically don't respect the women. Why people have got this impression? Reason is because Muslim men who get married, they don't learn their duties as husband. They don't learn how to be proper human being. If you don't learn this thing, you marry, what will happen? You are already problem anyway, burden. Now you marry, you get a new problem, another person. You cannot conduct your life properly. Now you married, what will happen? You create more problem. You need to learn. And this morning, the first thing I received, from a Pakistani woman, she's saying that, please can explain to me now if fatwa in Pakistan is that men are allowed to beat their wives. So what do you say about that, this fatwa? And some other people said that this fatwa is now circulating in Pakistan. So now, seriously, if you get a mufti like that, what will happen? The women now, they say the Quran said that men are allowed to beat their wives. Now this fatwa has come. Even before this fatwa, how much injustice happened to the women. Now if you get this fatwa, what will happen? Tell me really. No understanding of the Quran, no understanding of Sunnah, nothing really. I'm just misusing the Quranic verse. What Quran teaches you in detail? Quran teaches you again taqwa, fear of Allah, sabr, patience. These commands of Quran are so many times in every single part of the Quran. They don't matter to you. Means this space does not, this circle line does not matter. What matters to you, something which Quran has mentioned in a certain context once only. That becomes more important. But how to behave the women, Quran mentions all the time, respect the women. Surah An-Nisa has come to teach you, respect the women. You don't respect the women. Only thing you learn from the Quran is to beat the women. And you say you follow the Quran. So, somebody asked me a long time ago that, Muslims, beat their women because they follow the Quran. I said, no. They beat the women because they don't follow the Quran. And the proof of that is, in America, the number of the women beaten by their husband in America, more than the women beaten by their husband in Pakistan. So people of America don't follow the Quran. It is basically people don't follow the Quran. It's not people beat women because they follow the Quran. Because they're Muslims, so they want to justify. They use the Quran to justify their wrong action. That's what they're doing. Not the Quran commands to be. Tell me really, in the whole world, in the history of mankind, who is the best person to obey the Quran? The Prophet Muhammadin, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first person to listen to the Quran. I mean, the Quran commands him to stand the prayer 2/3 of night. He did it. 2/3 of night in the prayer. 1/3 of half night. But same Prophet, his wife say he never hit any woman. Neither his wife, neither anybody. If Quran commands him to beat his wife, why didn't he beat? So you say, no, maybe his wife were so nice, they never disobeyed. No, his wife had problem. Quran, even the Quran mentioned problem, conspiracy, in all those things that happened in the houses, happened to him as well, but he never beat them. If beating the women was a command from the Quran, then Prophet should be the first person to beat the wives, but he never did. Aisha said, Ma darab imraatan qattu, he never hit any woman. He never hit anybody. So tell me really that, you know, do you understand? And now why Muslims in Pakistan need this fatwa? I don't understand really. Isn't anything else in Pakistan for people to give fatwa? This is only fatwa left in Pakistan to beat the women, nothing else. Bad understanding of this religion really. That's what we need really, good scholars, people who can learn properly. Anyway, now time has come for a break. So I'll stop it here. And if you have any questions, please ask.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. My question is about the spaces you were referring to and the example of Yusuf alayhi salam, which you used. It's very clear, but I'm just thinking about our duties towards the state or toward as an ummah level, and you know, in response to the suffering around the world. We don't naturally progress from personal life, family, society, and then state. So, and it doesn't happen to everybody that they will eventually, you know, be part of politics. So how can, you know, because it might sound like it's promoting being the, you know, being passive as an individual towards state and, you know, the suffering of the ummah as a you know, as an ummah level. So how can we balance?
Yeah, okay, this is a very good question. Exactly. Next thing I want to explain really. Next thing really I want to explain is that Islam has come basically to lead you to full space. So basically, it is not a passive thing. It is really active. But not like political activism. Islamic activism really is different activism. It is actually more ibadah and da'wah activism, which leads to the same fruit, same end, but a nice order, you know, for a sequence, one after the other. Political activism basically is no order, no sequence, nothing to just basically protesting and marching and, you know, jihad and all those things. Political activism has harmed Islam so much. The activism that Islam has got is from beginning, that were called ibadah and da'wah. It really is concerned for whole humanity. Islam is not interest, but it's really to be active in the life. So that next time I'm going to teach, inshallah. So it's a good question, and that question should arise in the mind of the people. Otherwise, Islam becomes just a passive religion. Islam not like that. Islam really active. Even the sabr, you know, is active. And I wrote a small writing about sabr. I think people should read that. Even the sabr is active sabr. Islamic sabr is not just passive. Active sabr. You know, do things, move forward in the life, and then you face difficulty, and then, you know, they learn how to behave. Okay. And next question. So that I'm coming. I'll explain that, inshallah.
I just wanted to ask Sheikh, this, everything that you explained, and some time, you drew the line, the space, and gave all. How did you arrive to this explanation? How did you sort of, you know, where did you get this from? This explanation and everything.
Yeah, the thing is,
examples that you have given us.
But certainly, I mentioned to you really, you know, like any young man, when I was young, now I'm old person, so like any young man, I was very much impressed by Maula Maududi, Sadhguru Shaheed, and their writing. You know, everybody wants, you know, power and glory and this and that. But certainly, alhamdulillah, you know, reading and help, and especially the reading Quran and the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, it really helped me that, you know, what their concern is, and also the stories of the prophets in the Quran. When I see Isa al-Islam, when he comes in the Roman Empire, you know, in our time when people, Khilafa is abolished, the first thing is to get the Khilafah. When Isa Islam comes and Jews have lost the power and dignity, he did not ask them to get Khilafah and power. He basically is teaching them very basic thing, Iman Islam. So I realize really that, you know, these messengers, they start from the beginning. They don't start from the end. Our leaders, they start from the end. Because leadership is different matter. Leadership basically is something else. And reform is something else. Reform basically means you are concerned. You want to, like your child, if you want to reform your child, you'll be concerned how to teach him to he can be reformed. But to become a leader, it is easy to say, see, people are deprived and this and that, and you know, bread, and people need bread, people need house, people need this. I'm a leader. Yeah, vote for me. And when you vote for me, you get all this. You don't get anything anyway, but that's how they promise. So leadership is a different matter. Reform is something else. If you read across the Bible, says messengers, what concern they have? Every messenger, first thing they say, Ani Abudullah, worship Allah. Quran says, any messenger we send, first thing they teach people is ibadah. The starting point always is ibadah, Iman Islam. Then anything else comes in life. Our starting point always is khilafah. First thing we start, khilafah is state. So this is not right. First thing should be starting, should be start from where Quran starts. You know, the Prophet spent 13 years in that starting point. And so much actually. And all the messenger, everybody knew Al Islam, you know, 950 years, no khilafah, no state, no power. Just basic da'wah. So that actually I learned from the Quran. And as I mentioned earlier, Mawla Farahi's way of tafsir also helped me to understand the meaning of many verses. And Waliullah Dehlvi, as I mentioned, his book is Izatul Khafa and Khilafatul Khulafa. I translated it in Arabic. I could not translate the whole thing, but really it's one of the work which helped me a lot in this matter. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, these are two book people you can say, you know, Mawla Hamiduddin Farahi and Waliullah Dehlvi, more influence on my mind. But certainly, main source is the Quran and Sunnah.
Sheikh, my question was about when you said on the Day of Judgment everyone will be individual. Then, you know, when you read the Quran and sometimes it's talking about what people will say as they're thrown into the fire, it's always in the plural. So, for example, in Surah Mulk, they say that if only we had heard and if only we had thought about it. So, if everyone's individual, then how comes all those verses are in the plural?
Because everybody will say the same thing. The Quran can make a condense. If 10 people say the same thing, you can say they said. Everybody says individually, if I say I want to earn money, you say you want to earn money, everybody says I want to make money, then somebody can say, all these people say they want to make money. So that's what Quran referring. They will say, no, it, you know, if we return a bike, means everybody will say the same thing. The Quran condensed it. You know, when Quran says, another thing people don't understand, when Quran says, qala, so and so said, so people think these are the words people said. No, people who have said another word. Quran is just expressing the same thing in its own words. They did not use the word of the Quran. They use something else. But Quran is putting their words more condensed way in new words. Firaun did not use those sentences. Their sentences so nice, you know, Firaun never can use them. But Quran, you know, Quran basically, you know, giving that what Quran, what Firaun said, putting new words. So it's the same sense, but more eloquent. Yeah.
You mentioned that Maulana Maududi and others talk about a lot about Khilafah and state. I think for my read, what I've sort of read is that they saw that as something that was missing from the knowledge of the Ummah. And from what they saw is that there were people praying, there were people giving zakat, but what was missing was how to bring all these people together, unified, and a space where they can worship Allah, and it wasn't necessarily just for the power. Maybe sometimes the exuberance and the enthusiasm for the state sometimes comes across as that is the ultimate goal, but I think with these people who led that movement, the ultimate goal was to create a space where the believers can worship Allah and attain His pleasure. But they wanted to remove those things which are not from Islam, which are hindering the believers and not allowing us to follow the command. So for them, they saw that as a priority to bring back Khilafah or the Islamic command. So how would you sort of, because it's sort of like a bit of a chicken and egg, sort of, do you reform the individual or do you wait for all the individuals to reform, or do you bring a state in place which can nurture whole nations of people?
Yeah, you know, this thing, I inshallah, I have one section on the Islamic movements anyway, so I'll teach, and also, you know, what Maulana Maududi has been teaching about the state, and Isis Shahid, I will also come to that anyway. But since you have asked the question, that how we used to think, really. I know, really, once I was very excited that, see, everybody teaches ibadah prayer, but Maulana Maududi was the first person in comprehensive religion. Islam is not only ibadah, must Islam is something more than that. It looked like that. So those days, you know, and Sayyid Shahid put it very nicely, that the problem, he said, is the Fasluddin al Siyasa. People have separated the religion from the politics. Islam is all together, you know, Islam is Dawla, Deen, Siyasa, everything together. They actually, what is missing actually from their understanding, they did not understand the problem is not Fasluddin al Siyasa. The problem has been Fasluddin al Haqiqatihi. You think the people pray, but people did not pray really. People, what they used to do is a form of the prayer. People think Muslims are Muslims. You think people have been fasting, People are not ready. People need to talk. That what is missing. Modi saying there are people who pray, there are people who fast, people pay zakat. Now we need to say political. No, actually people are not doing those things. What they're doing is just form of Islam. So problem was not Fasluddin on siyasati and siyasa. Problem was Fasluddin on haqiqatihi. People basically don't, meaning is people don't have Iman Islam of Ibrahim. That Islam which I'm thinking, and that I'm going to, inshallah, next thing I'm going to, when I said the circle, now I'm going to explain to you what circle means really. Maula Maududi and Sadhguru Shahid, they assume there are Muslims who don't have power. Truth of the matter is, they're not Muslims, Muslims don't exist. You need to make Muslims first. Before giving them power, these people who exist now, if you give them power, they're already 50 countries. Tell me what we do. If you think the only thing missing is power, the 50 countries are already there. How many more you need more? These people who have 15 countries, they are not worth it. They cannot run them. Basic things are missing. They are not honest. They are not pure. They don't worship their Lord. You know, they show off things. You know, can't see if you go to Pakistan, really. You have got a country like Pakistan. And that time, Maulana Maududi moved there. You know, Pakistan country. But do you think really Pakistan, Muslims in Pakistan are because they have better space, better than Muslims in India who don't have space? No. Actually, some people think Muslims in India are better in many ways. So it is not that you get a space, your Islam becomes better. Even in the world, your Islam could be better than somebody who has a power, who is a Khalifa. It is something different, really. Problem is not that you don't have power. Problem is you don't have the reality of the religion. Problem is not Fasluddin Ali Siyasa. Problem is Fasluddin Ali Dawla. The problem is not that religion has been separated from the Dawla and power and Siyasa. Problem is religion has been separated from the reality. Meaning is, Muslims have form of the religion, but they don't have the spirit of the religion. That's the problem. People don't pray really. And that way what happened then, Maulana Maududi realized really. Then what the Jamaat Islami started, what they call is, something spiritual training. So they used to make camp like once a month to make people motivated to pray properly. So one of the comments for Jamaat Islami commented after long experience, he said really, the problem is that this what was the starting point. Now we think this is main focus on something else. You did this sometime in once a month. It's not going to work because everybody's mind, our goal is to get the power and the state. This thing, training, prayer is not important. That what should be the first thing. First, it should be the make the prayer right. When the prophet used to pray, how used to pray? The prayer, he said, Qurratu ayni, ma kullasa maya. We don't pray like that. Even if you get khilafah, if you don't, to what purpose the khilafah, if you don't pray? Quran says, Alladhina makkanahu fil ard aqamu salata. Those people, when we give them power, they establish the prayer. But if prayer is not in my heart, if you get the power, actually I will promote TV and all entertainment. That's the problem really. Maulana Maududi and Sadhguru Shahid, they have good intention and they are thinking really everything exists. But what does not exist is Islamic State. If you get Islamic State, Islam will complete. But the problem really is they did not realize what does not exist, Islam itself. So the problem was not ulama did separate state and siyasa from religion. The problem was people separated real religion from the religion. So problem what we can summarize, Fasluddin on haqiqatihi, not Fasluddin on siyasa al-dawla. Inshallah, throughout the day, it will become more clear. Some of my friends, they are very active in Jamaat Islami. I never have been biased against Jamaat Islami anyway. Actually, in the beginning, I was more actually in support of, because I used to read, and when people used to come and give them Maulana Maududi's literature, though I never have been a member, but I always been very excited. And one of my teachers, Maulana Shahbaz Islahi, from whom I learned more, he was very active member of Jamaat Islami. So I never have been negative about that. Actually, still in many, many ways, I have more sympathy for many of those people rather than because, I know how they do, how they have love for the religion. But certainly, when I teach, it's our duty to point out the mistakes properly, so then we can, work properly. That's my thinking. It's not that I hate anybody or oppose anybody. Truth of the matter is, among the religious groups in the Muslim world, still I believe that people of Jamaat Islami and Muslim Brotherhood, in many ways, they are more religious than many other people. Certainly they have done mistakes. Those mistakes should be understood properly, so in future we can avoid them.